As per usual, folks, this is Movie Moan on ThinkBeforeIThink.com, and as per usual, this is Jamie Williams, co-owner-operator of the site, welcoming you to the show. So, welcome, Phil.
Hello, everybody. I'm kind of hungering for an opening line here tonight as well. I really don't have one. All I can say is that I've been having a great week. I am sitting here doing my favourite thing on a Sunday, watching the sun go down, and here to talk about movies and other important bullshit topics. This is exciting.
Well, I mean, now, what comes on? Is there anything good that comes on television on Sunday nights in the UK?
No.
No. See, I mean, I was wondering because, like, you know, in the States, I mean, we get, you know, we have The Simpsons, we have, what else, like, you know, Family Guy. And I'm not saying good shows, I'm just saying it's like, you know, shows.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know The Simpsons were good again.
No, no, not at all. But, like, King of the Hill, I still enjoy. Maybe that's just me on that one. What else comes, I mean, like, you know, that new show Sit Down, Shut Up just started, which I missed last week, so I'll have to, hopefully someone will have it on the internet, like, I'm watching on YouTube, maybe. But what else comes on Sunday nights? Robot Chicken comes on Sunday nights. I'm sorry my energy is low right now, folks. I just ate and, you know, I'm just like, ugh. Like, I didn't eat
maybe
a lot.
I should start the ball rolling.
I didn't eat a lot.
It's just,
oh, no. I mean, yeah, by all means, go ahead. But it's just like, it's not that, like, I didn't eat a lot. I don't know why. I'm just kind of low on my energy and shit. Ugh.
Well, no, like, if you need to run to a kitchen or something and eat some sugar.
Not at all. I've got a Diet Pepsi in front of me, so that'll do me good. Zero calories, zero carbs, zero sugar. And yet, it actually does have more than 0% of taste. I enjoy the taste of Diet Pepsi. That was me just pimping Diet Pepsi, folks, in case, you know, you're wondering why suddenly, instead of talking about movies or TV shows or women or food, I'm talking about, like, you know, Pepsi, which I don't think Pepsi Cat is... Is that considered a food?
No.
No, I didn't think so. I was wondering.
But this isn't food education,
no,
Jamie.
No, it's not.
No,
it's Movie Moan. So, yeah, kick off. Yeah, Phil, you got anything on your mind you want to talk about right now?
Oh, well, I'll start with this one. I have not been keeping much track of the remake of Clash of the Titans, simply because it was... Now, I thoroughly enjoyed the original movie. I don't watch it a lot. I'm not really obsessive over it. I'm not excited about it in the way I am about a Tron 2, because I really do know Tron a lot, but it's not really like that. But still, you know, a remake of Clash of the Titans, that's something to get excited about, because this is something which has a lot of potential to be something magical. Something with big epicness and something with the gods fighting each other and using mortals as their little playthings. Films like that don't come along very often. The original film took one approach with it, but that's not to say that you can't do 100 different versions of Clash of the Titans. So, and from the synopsis I read, the plot synopsis, it does appear that they are doing something completely different. This one is going to feature Ralph Fiennes, I can never remember which.
That's
it,
right.
Is as Hades, the Lord of the Underworld. Presumably he will not look like the James Woods version of Hades from Disney's Hercules.
I would love to see that, actually. Just put,
in live action, yes.
Put James Woods as Hades in live action.
Yes.
I would
hey,
love
how are you doing? Hey, nice dress.
I remember when that movie came out in summer of 97.
That's right.
That's weird. I was going to say 98, but 98 was Mulan. So it's just
That's
so,
right.
And like, then they'd start, like, redesigning the character to fit the actor more. It's so funny, and they always do it afterwards. Like, I always wonder, like, what some of these characters look like before they got an actor on board. Like, they might have an actor in mind, but until they officially hire the actor, you know, and then they start to slowly kind of make him look like him, I've noticed.
And maybe he made that movie. You watch
the
trailer for it. You watch how much footage of it is him, as opposed to any of the other characters.
Who's the Tate Donovan?
It's like 80% him.
Yeah, I know. And then they did the animated series, and guess who came back? You know,
yeah.
James Woods, and that sort of kicked off of, you know, the whole thing about James Woods doing animation. Now he's in, you know, he's actually, he was on The Simpsons beforehand, but like he's predominantly in animation a lot more. Like, he did that. He was on Family. He plays Peter Griffin's arch nemesis on Family Guy.
Yes.
and he's playing James Woods. It's not like he's playing some other characters.
I have James Woods. We've all seen that.
We have, I'm and sure. It's all right. I mean, it's sort of the point where, like, you know, Family Guy, just all they want to do is musicals now. And I'm not even, like, exaggerating. Like, they'll spend, like, 5 minutes on a song for no reason, thus proving that the show's gotten terrible and they need to learn how to write.
Oh, that's a shame. It's a shame to hear.
So I was but, getting way off topic there. Go ahead.
Not at all. That's what we do. But this Hades is going to be played by Ray Fiennes. Be really interesting to see how he's going to look and act, given that he's already doing the sort of Dark Lord of the Underworld kind of thing in Harry Potter right now. So,
but it pays well.
It does.
It must pay really well. I'm most curious about, and I think I can speak, I don't know if I can speak for you on this, but you have, I think I can to a degree, is seeing how Sam Worthington's going to turn out. Because here's a guy who is being pimped as the next big shit.
Is he in Clash of the Titans as well?
Yeah, he's the lead.
Listen, right, okay, I am going to reiterate this question that I've asked before. Are there no other actors in the mid-20s to mid-30s range that are available any way credible?
Apparently not, and that amazes me because he's being pimped up so much. I mean, we've got Terminator Salvation coming out in less than a month now. Avatar, supposedly for Christmas. I'm still wondering about if that's going to be pushed back. There's rumors that they want him to play Green Lantern, and now there's Clash of the Titans, and the fact that he was like the third runner up of he was in third place to play James Bond in Casino Royale. So you're just wondering. It's like, wow, this guy must be amazing, and yet we haven't seen anything from him, and I'm just wondering if this is a case where, is this guy going to live up to all this hype, or, you know, maybe he won't. Well, I don't know. I'm just curious.
You'll find out the answer to that question sooner than I will, because unfortunately, Terminator Salvation doesn't come out in my country until early June, which is a bit of a pain in the ass.
Well, that's only about a week difference, though.
I think it's like a week or 2 weeks, something
like
that.
We get it Memorial Day, and it's like on a Thursday, I think, or a Wednesday. They might be going for like a 6-day weekend for that flick.
Something like that.
Yeah, they're going for something like that, and yet, you know, you get it in early June. That'll be like a week later at the most. It won't be that. It's not like Up. Not that I'm trying to hurt your feelings by mentioning Up being pushed back in the UK, but, you know, it's only about a week or two. Like, Up, of course, coming out in October. There, I just ruined your day.
You really just have. You really nailed in the coffin there. But I just don't get it. I mean, look, I'm sure the guy, there must be a reason. He must be great, but there is such a thing as overexposure. I mean, if we're buzzing about the guy in one film, fact is, if he comes out in three other films, big films, very close together, especially if he's playing the same guy, he could be one of those guys that can only play one character. Kind of like Clive Owen right now, unfortunately. I like Clive Owen, but as we've discussed before in my review of The International, right now he's just playing the same guy over and over again.
He's playing Clive Owen.
He is playing Clive Owen. I could backfire. Do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if when G.I. Joe comes out, Channing Tatum turns around and actually says, actually, I'm Sam Worthington, Channing Tatum's just my pseudonym.
Yeah, then he takes off his mat. Oh, he takes off, like, his rubber ears, and it's like his ears.
Like a Mission Impossible 2, yes.
Well, I mean, you know, but it's just like, I've never seen an actor this hyped up before his big movies come out. I mean, he got hired in Avatar first, and then McGee caught wind of that and put him in Terminator, and then Warner Brothers hired him for Clash of the Titans, and then Warner Brothers wants him for Green Lantern, and he might end up getting that part, who knows? But it's like, good God. I mean, I'm trying to think, what was the last time we had an actor who was hugely hyped up before we saw him in anything? Well, he was an unknown, supposed to do a big movie. I don't even know the last time we saw someone anywhere near this caliber that Worthington's had for the past year and a half now, 2 years.
I can't possibly think. Not on this scale.
No, not on this scale. I mean, I guess one could say Chris Pine, but, like, yeah, nowhere near the scale of Worthington. Like, Pine...
We're just talking one movie. There's plenty of instances of that.
Yeah.
I mean, we were waiting to see how Brandon Routh turned out, but he was only in this...
Yeah, he was only in Superman. And yeah, but that's the thing, though. Like, an actor who – and, like, in both – in, you know, the case of Ralph, he turned out fine in terms of his performance. And, you know, his career is kind of slowly getting back up. And Pine looks like his career will do just fine as well. So I don't know that now. I mean, we don't know how Trek's going to be received in 2 weeks. Which you feel, it's weird. It's 2 weeks till Star Trek, goddammit.
Yay!
Yay!
And of course, there's the Bond girl as well, Gemma Anderton, or Anderton. No, I think it's Anderton. Yeah, she got the Bond gig, and now she's in Clash of the Titans, and she's in Prince of Persia as well. Both right. Next summer, presumably she will be bikini clad in both with some swords, which will be nice.
That's an overexposure issue. You're doing like two of the same similar type movies. You know, and
she's making look. Maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but it's like she's making the mistake that so many people in her position do. She's in one big movie, which gets her a lot of exposure, and then she's just grabbing everything. Everything's coming to her. The phone's constantly ringing, and she's taking everything.
I don't know if it's necessarily a mistake because most people know here that, you know, it's the film industry is certainly sexist towards women. And it's a ticking time clock. I hate to say that, but it's true in terms of the way women are perceived. So she's, I think, being rather smart going out and taking all these roles, because it will only last so long. It's just like, you know, you can make the same argument for Megan Fox, who is also taking every paying gig right now, because Megan Fox will not be getting everything. You know, in about three.
No, I agree.
I mean, it's not a strike against Megan Fox. I don't think she's. I didn't think she was particularly good in Transformers, but you know,
she wasn't terrible. She didn't derail it.
Exactly, she wasn't terrible. She didn't derail it. But you know, I've heard her in interviews, and I actually quite like her. I mean, yeah. I mean, granted, yes, she's a very attractive young woman, but just she seems very geek friendly, and like she doesn't seem like a bitch or anything. Like you see interviews with other people, and they come off as snobs. I've never gotten that vibe from her. Granted, I've never met the woman, and probably never will. So, but there you go.
That's sad. Oh well. Anyway,
well, I mean, I don't have a burning desire to meet her. I mean, no offense.
Oh, who are you kidding?
I'm not kidding anybody. I don't have a burning desire to meet the woman. I mean, not a strike against her, but it's like, eh. No, whatever.
Okay. Well, it's interesting what you said.
I mean, what can I say? I would rather meet someone like Spielberg or Nolan or Cameron or somebody. I'd get more excited.
Well, yes, obviously.
You know. So excuse me, Mr. Know-it-all. No.
Sorry. I'm sorry. But it's interesting what you said there about how women are perceived, because it's also it's not just off screen, you know, the way that they're hired and that they're cast in movies like this and presented. It's also that specifically in A movies, in big studio movies, so much of this material, there are so few roles that are well written for women, especially in blockbusters. And especially in, we've talked about this before, in comic book movies.
Yeah.
So many times, I mean, look, the fact is there are far more male writers out there than women. I really don't know what the ratio is, but I reckon it's pretty depressing, actually. But no, the roles for women are just badly written most of the time. And in one of the mistakes that we make, and I talked about this with you when we were talking about Keira Knightley, is how, you know, we blame the actor when the character turns out shit. We don't blame the writer, because that's the mystique of film. That's the magic of film. You know, we believe that the character, that the actor is responsible for everything that's coming out of her mouth, instead of just doing, you know, what she's paid to do, which is
I will say in case of Keira Knightley, she does, I do think she does have the criticism where I think she will have a long career, and yet she's still doing all of these period pieces left and right. She really, really, really needs to knock that off. Really.
He said three reallys. Oh, four. He's serious, folks.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know I'm right about this one, though. I mean, how many movies has she done now where she's like in a period piece movie? I mean, good God, man. Or girl?
Well, I think the question is, how many of these period movies can the public stomach?
Well, you they don't make money, though. Someone's just making it. They're making them. Like, you know, you damn well know there are some flicks that just get made for the hell of it, you know, even though they know no one's going to go see it. And I know people are going to say I'm an idiot for saying that, but case in point, W. you know, everyone knew that movie was going to bomb, but they just made it anyway. And guess what? It bombed anyway. You know?
I don't know about that. I think I do disagree with that, Jamie. I will say I don't think, even though I think people in Hollywood studios and in independent studios as well, you know, the people that make British films and the pretty pieces like Working Title, they make some pretty boneheaded decisions, but I don't believe any of them are stupid enough to make a movie that they know isn't going to make money, that doesn't have a chance of success. Some people must go and see period films because they keep making them. I know, looking at the trailer for the Emily Blunt film, The Duchess, which I think has come out. This is how little I care about it, folks. I can't even remember if it has come out or is coming out. Probably has come out. But in any case, you know, I know, look, just looking at the trailer, there's literally not a single fiber of my being that would want to see that. But I know some people must want to. Same way that some people like Sex in the City. I know that's a cliche thing to say.
Which I actually saw last week, actually. I finally saw the movie last week. Funny.
All right.
It was alright. I mean, it's funny that I look back and people really, really criticize that movie and they really shit on it, and yet, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. It was like, you know what? It was like watching a Star Trek movie. It was like watching one of the Star Trek, not like Star Trek 2, or it was probably like watching
Insurrection.
It was like watching Insurrection, where it's you have to have known the show and you have to know all the backstory with everything. Don't even make it a point to get, but yet, I mean, like, very few people criticize the Star Trek movies for being that way. So, you know, why were people criticizing the Sex and the City movie for doing that? I don't think it was that big a deal. I know my way around Sex and the City. I've seen a couple episodes. I liked what I saw. The movie was okay, but I mean, like, there are worse movies to shit on than that.
Well, we could trail off there, but I need to drag it back to Clash of the Titans.
There you go.
Because I still haven't got to my point here. I was reading, I finally sat down and I read the story synopsis on our site for Clash of the Titans. And it sounds, you know, like it has potential. It's, you know, it is what it says on the tin. It involves a clash of the Titans, of the gods, and using mortals as their puppets, so what, to some degree. Don't remember if I read the Krakens being in there, but, you know, that's all right. I'll live with it if he isn't. I know some people will be pissed, but you can't help that. In any case, it suddenly occurred to me, does this synopsis, which I'm assuming you've read, Jamie?
Not in a while. I have read it, though.
You okay? Well, fair enough. You know what Clash of the Titans is about,
yes,
though, don't you?
Yes.
Does this in any way seem similar to you to a certain comic book movie that was supposed to come out next summer but won't be coming out, supposedly, if at all, until the following summer?
Which one would that be?
That would be The Mighty Thor.
Ah, Thor.
It occurred to me that it is extremely fortuitous that Thor has been delayed, because I have just had this feeling that Clash of the Titans and Thor are going to be very similar pictures in terms of their story. Not in terms of how they feel and look, because one is being directed by Kenneth Branagh, and one is being directed by Louis Leterrier, director of The Incredible Hulk, and I don't think he directed all the Transporter movies. Certainly directed the first one. So they won't be... They're two different filmmakers there. So they won't be that similar. But still, I'm just concerned. I mean, there are so many different things that could happen. Allow me to just hypothesize for a second. You know, Clash of the Titans could be a flop. In which case, what happens to Thor? Do they cancel it because they feel like the public don't want to see movies involving gods? They want to see down-to-earth superheroes, so they'll can it. And plus, we already know that Jon Favreau is a little bit concerned about how Thor is going to mesh with the overall plan of the Marvel film slate leading into an Avengers movie. Or do they press ahead anyway and say, well, ours is different because it's a comic book movie and comic book movies make money? Or do they say, Branagh, whatever you do, you've got to make it like Clash of the Titans because that was a big hit. You know, if it is a hit, or 100 things could happen, and I'm babbling a little bit here, but I'm really interested to know what you think, Jamie, because this only occurred to me this week.
I mean, just the timetable would have to suggest that I don't think they're going to have to. They're not. I don't think they're going to have time to think about it. I mean, the movies they're coming out about a year or so apart. But still, I mean, Thor is another one that I'm kind of wondering if they might not even pull the plug on that myself for other reasons. I mean, like, it was supposed to come out in July. It was like July 10th, 2010, and then out of nowhere they moved it back a full year. Which was rather surprising. Avengers being pushed back, I knew it was going to be pushed back. I said it was going to be pushed back. And that, again, that wasn't me like having some kind of insider tell me that, although we've heard little things about different movies, not Thor, though. That was 100% grade A common sense. That was like, Avengers will not happen for 2011. It's going to be pushed back. There's no doubt about that. And when it was, I wasn't shocked. But I don't know about Thor, man. That's an odd one. It kind of reminds me of another movie that's been delayed that certainly is a bit of a shock to some people, if you want to segue into it, which is BioShock.
Yes. Shocking news this week, huh?
Yeah, huh? I know. I mean, like, it hit Friday night, which was that Universal was indefinitely delaying. I don't know if that was the word used, but it was some kind of word of that caliber. The big screen adaptation of the video game series. Gore Verbinski was signed on to produce and direct it. They were saying, I think they were saying a summer 2011 release, as I recall. It was 2011. I think it was summer. It might have been like in March or so.
He said definitely he's not doing Pirates 4. So this
which
is
he has said that multiple times, though. I think it's so funny that people they reiterated that news, but like he said around the time they were releasing Pirates 3 that he wasn't going to do a fourth one. He was like, I'm done with Pirates. Fuck Pirates. I'm pretty sure he did. You'll have to back me up on that if you remember. If you don't, you know. To hell with you.
I just remembered the most recent one.
And that was just sort of regurgitated news we'd heard before, as I recall. It's kind of like hearing Keira Knightley talk about it. It's like, we already knew you weren't doing a fourth one, Keira. Don't keep talking about it. Just to get in the news, damn it. But they pulled the plug for now, and they've said that it's because of budgetary reasons. The estimated budget was $160, which means it was probably, closer to $200. And they're saying it's still going to happen, but it's been delayed so far. My guess is it doesn't happen. I don't see how it happens now, as a matter of fact. It seemed that it was going to happen for 2011. They seemed to really be serious about making it. They announced it. They announced the director. They're moving forward with it. They had a number of drafts of the script. They were hiring effects teams to work on it, pre-visit, scouting locations, and all that stuff. And now all of a sudden them pull the plug like this? Not a good sign, my man.
Can I just say...
Sure.
The thing that shocked me about this news, first of all, I played BioShock for 5 minutes. I couldn't get into it, unfortunately. But I know the game is very popular. However, I don't even think it's been around for 2 years yet. I know it's popular, it made money, there's a sequel on the way, and I imagine that this will be one of those things where maybe they're trying to engineer the release of the sequel game to the release of the movie, if they can manage to do that, which they won't. But I do not... The thing that shocked me was the news about the budget. I'm sorry, this is not... $160 million on, as I've said before, I have no idea what a movie, what it takes to make a movie, how much things really do cost, because they really don't let that kind of information out. I do know that this is a high concept deal, and it can't be done on the cheap, really, because it's set in a giant, fantastical, underwater city of in a sort of Art Deco period style. So if he's planning on making... Oh, and of course there are lots of alien beasties and giant robot-type things to fight. And so it will certainly be... It's not like Mortal Kombat, for example, where it's just guys in clothes fighting each other. No, this will require money to put on the screen. But you can't tell me, unless they have got the best script in the world, which is a surefire winner... that they can invest that amount of money in this thing, and it's Halo. It's Halo all over again. And that's what I agree with you. I just don't think this thing is going to get made. And I applaud the studio for pulling the plug on it. They have pulled the plug, for putting on hold, shall we say, because that's what they've said so far. Because, that's just, you cannot spend that amount of money in something which is not a sure thing, which is not proven. Which is, if BioShock was... No, in fact, even if BioShock was a video game monster franchise, which has been around since the days of the 8-bit NES and has had 20 games in its library. Even then, I would be saying, I think $160 million is a ridiculous amount of money to spend, because video game movies have never made money, except for the first Tomb Raider, which
and
didn't make that much money.
And Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, that's
that actually made money, too. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I see. I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, they'll talk about, like, yeah, we're still doing it, blah, blah. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if another studio ends up grabbing Verbinski, or someone else ends up grabbing Verbinski quite quickly, you know, to do, on another project.
Superman?
No, not really. But like, just he was in the running to direct the Superman sequel. I mean, you know, I can say that much. But I mean, he seemed genuinely interested, if my memory serves me correctly on those rumors. But don't know what happened. Maybe it was Bioshock that got in the way. I don't know. But I do think his services will be quickly brought up by someone else. Maybe by Universal. My theory on why Bioshock got the plug pulled actually is around the same time that that article hit Friday night, I read another piece on Thompson on Hollywood. Ann Thompson was the former columnist for Variety, now runs on her own now. She was mentioning how General Electric is doing so badly that there are rumors that they might end up having to sell off NBC Universal, and that, you know, Warner Brothers, Time Warner might be interested in buying NBC Universal, which would be a huge buyout. And basically, this came out literally right after the Bioshock news hit Friday night. And my theory, my hypothesis, is that Universal is already well aware of the situation, and they're trying to save their bucks, and they don't want to blow their money on something like this if they know they're just going to get sold off to someone else. That's my hypothesis. I could be wrong on that.
I'm blown away, and I'm deep in, you know, wonderment at your hypothesis. I had no idea about that, and that sounds as good a reason as any.
I don't know. I could be wrong on that. I mean, wouldn't be the first time. No, you're right. But I mean, it's rather interesting the timing of that article coming out, I find.
Well, to be honest, maybe it's been dead for months. It's just this is the first time anybody ever announced it.
That's a very good observation, because a lot of times, you know, they go around talking about this kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, it is interesting, like, sometimes...
And who cares?
There you go. I was going to say, who cares? No, I wasn't. But, yeah. Basically, what Phil's trying to say is, let's move on.
No, not necessarily. I'm just saying,
sure.
I understand that it's a popular game,
yeah.
But there are... I could name 20 games off the top of my head that are more popular right now than Bioshock.
20?
And probably would make a better movie.
What's the first one?
I don't know if you want me to.
Yeah, I know. It's like, do I want to ask him? I'm assuming you'll mention Zelda as one of those, and Metroid.
Zelda, there's one, yes. Zelda, like I say, ever since you mentioned your idea for a teaser trailer for Super Mario Brothers,
yes.
the requel, the reimagining, I've been game for that.
You just want to see my version, is what it boils down to.
I just want to see the teaser trailer. Even if they abandon it after that, I don't mind, as long as I see
kinda
that
like
on the big
screen. Yeah, kind of like seeing the teaser to Tim Burton's Superman Lives. You know, it's like, exactly. Yeah, they didn't make it, but I just want to see a teaser to that movie, just to get an idea of Tim Burton's fucking warped mind, his version of Superman, where he's gothic and emo.
Just to see that floating stick that, you know, tells him to get up and believe in himself and not stay dead. And yes. the version of Brainiac that looks like a cone on legs.
And Michael Keaton's Batman showing up for no reason whatsoever at the funeral.
No, that's a good idea.
No, that is a good idea. Yeah, I don't think it was a terrible idea, but, you know. Anyway.
No, there was a great scene, just to tell you for a second. I don't know if you ever read World Without a Superman, which was the little title that they ran for a couple of months during when they...
Was that
after
when
they were keeping him dead?
Oh, yeah.
Right after the death. And, you know, the four replacement Supermen start to come into the limelight and take his place. There was Steel, or the Man of Steel, got his own movie with Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
There was Superboy, who was a clone of him.
There was the Eradicator, who was basically
Cyborg Superman, who turned out to be the big villain at the end of it.
That's what annoyed me about that Death of Superman animated movie, because I got that for Christmas, and it was so bad, and no one would talk about it. And I was like, maybe they're not talking about it because they don't want to ruin it for people. And I realized they didn't talk about it because it was fucking terrible. And I was kind of thinking in the back of my mind, like, it was going to be just more faithful to the comic books, and that we'd see the four Supermen show up. Or maybe not all four of them, but we'd see Steel and then Cyborg. And maybe Eradicator, but we wouldn't see Superboy. And instead, they're all gone. It's just like, oh, look, Luthor had something to do with it, as usual. Ugh.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, Jamie, but, I mean, one of the problems with these DC animated movies, I enjoyed Superman Day. I've never seen it more than once, but I enjoyed it. It was okay. I didn't hate it at all. But one of the problems is that they all have the same running time. They all run approximately 1 hour and 10 minutes long because they don't have a budget, or they're not given a budget to run longer than that. And the money you spend in animation corresponds in some way to the running time of your show or your film. So they've never been given the budget to do a 2-hour animated movie, and they never will, unfortunately. There's, all this stuff is direct to DVD, so they've never been given it. Oh, except for Mask of the Phantasm, the Batman movie. But even that was only 70 minutes, and originally that was supposed to be direct to video, and they gave it a theatrical release like with a few months to go, and they had to scramble to get it ready.
But to be fair, that was the only Batman movie that Siskel and Ebert gave two thumbs up on, was Mask of the Phantasm. Yes. I remember that was a big deal back in the day. God,
it was a good movie, but what was I saying? Oh, yes, so anyway, on the day of Superman's funeral, they're carting his golden casket down this proscenium, and all the DC superheroes are there, pretty much, except for Batman. And as far as I remember, there's this criminal who's hiding on a rooftop, and he's saying really derogatory things about Superman, and he's just stolen a purse or some money or something, and all of a sudden Batman appears behind him and strings him up and is quite willing to do the usual brutal vigilante thing he would, but instead says, out of respect for Superman, I'm going to play it his way just for today, you're very lucky, and just leaves him dangling there. It's a good scene, so I'd love to see that in live action. That was my only point about that.
Oh, no, it's fine. That's cool by me. Speaking of comic book movies, we are officially less than a week away to the summer 2009 box office season kicks off with Wolverine. And
X-Men Origins : Wolverine.
Yes, I cannot believe they have not dropped that title yet. It's just
apparently it needs to be made clear that this is a prequel.
Yeah, in case people couldn't have figured that out just watching the movie, you know. But
of course, like everything, Jamie, I guess the studio is hoping, or maybe I should say we're hoping. Maybe I should be using past tense from now on this. We're hoping that this would be the first in a line of X-Men prequels involving lots of different characters. Obviously, we knew there was supposed to be a Magneto movie, which is the one I wanted to see, and unfortunately, I think will never get made, or certainly won't get made with Fox.
No. I don't think it'll ever get made.
And I suppose if Gambit had gone down well in Wolverine, we would have got a Gambit movie, or X-Men Origins: The Blob. Maybe, I don't know.
But
certainly, they had plans to do.
Well, then there's the X-Men Young Class shit about, like, them as
teenagers. Class, isn't it? Something
whatever.
Like that.
Whatever. I mean, the point is, like, you know, that's a franchise that has so gone to shit. I mean, after X2, the sky was the limit. And yet, you know, I mean, for X3, for all its faults, they didn't get – I mean, X3 wasn't that bad. You know, they did some decent shit in that movie. But they could have gone to other places with an X-Men 4 instead of this whole, let's just do a prequel shit.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that, Jamie, because it occurred to me, I was thinking about this, and it realized, even though X-Men 3 was not what we wanted it to be, they could still have recovered, they could have brought it back, and still done a fresh, new, exciting story, as opposed to Spider-Man 4, where Spider-Man 3 has so drained our enthusiasm for the franchise, and so it seems wasted the potential of any new storylines or new villains that, you know, we really couldn't care less about it right now. You're absolutely right.
Well, I mean, you know, with Spider-Man 4, I'm still kind of wondering if that will, if Raimi will walk from that project, to be honest. I say that because, well, I mean, he's been giving a really weird vibe lately, and there's just something that's not adding up about this. Something is just like, it's like 2 + 2 = 6 kind of logic here. Because, you know, they hired this guy. I mean, have I talked about this before? I don't want to repeat myself if I have. Have I?
We have talked about it off air.
Off air, but we haven't said on the podcast. Well, fuck it, I'll say it again anyway, if we haven't. Yeah, it's weird because, you know, they hired this guy back in November, and then a month ago they talked to Raimi. It was David Lindsay, I think his name is. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner. He wrote Inkheart. He wrote the screenplay for that movie. And they hired him back in, like, the beginning of November of 08, and then there was an interview with Raimi like a month ago where he said, we still haven't decided on the villain. I still don't have a script. We don't know what the story is. And it's like, well, this guy was hired like 6 months ago. You should know a little bit more than that, buddy. And then he's saying, well, we'll have the script by summer. Why, June or July, we'll have the script. And it's a little odd. And now he's saying, like, well, I haven't actually talked to Kristen Dunst yet. I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to have a meeting with her in a few weeks to decide whether or not she's going to do it. Well, it had been previously reported that she was on board for the next one. So now he's coming out saying, like, well, she might not do it either. What sums up with this movie, dude? I don't know, man. Something is – this is not adding up with Spider-Man 4.
Well, you have to remember, Jamie, he's got a new movie, which is completely different from the Spider-Man movies.
Yes, it looks good.
Drag Me to Hell. It's backed, it's been getting great reviews. Empire gave it 4 stars, I think.
Oh, they did?
Yes, I think they – yes, they did. Oh, by the way, wait till you get your new issue, your 20th anniversary issue of Empire. I tell you, dude, they have pulled out all the stops for this one.
This is the Spielberg edition, I'm assuming.
It's guest edited by Steven Spielberg.
Now, it's funny because when I heard they were doing it and they were doing that, I was like, oh, what a stupid gimmick. But apparently this is kind of legit. Like, this is like, nah, I mean, they got some good scoops. At,
it is.
Including the whole thing we talked about last week about, you know, The Hobbit now being 2 movies instead of the bridge film and The Hobbit.
They've,
you know,
got that, the Hobbit scoop. They've got the Tintin scoop. They've got the Avatar scoop, which is saying it will be out on December 18th. So seems a little late to back out now, so I would assume that it will be. They've got this thing on the back where Frank Darabont, they asked Frank Darabont to come up with, like, every month they do a masterpiece. They look back, do a reflective look back at a masterpiece. And they asked Frank Darabont to choose this month, and instead he picked 200 of them. So it's just a big list of his favorites in every single genre.
See, I would love. I'm looking forward to that because I'm a big Darabont fan. Like, I want to see. I mean, he is definitely one of us. He's a nerd like us, so it's always fun to hear him. I've heard him speak. I love his commentaries. You know.
Well, I won't spoil it for you.
Thank you.
Spielberg picked every month on the last page of Empire. There's a classic scene from a film when they just take the screenplay and they take
it. Yes, dissect it.
Spielberg has chosen this month's classic scene.
So it's going to be something from the old day. It'll be like Citizen Kane or something, probably.
I won't spoil it. You might be surprised.
Okay.
Every month they have the Empire quiz where they test.
Yes.
They get a filmmaker and they test him on the most obscure questions based on his own stuff. And it's a very hard quiz that a lot of people fail at. The lowest score right now is John Carpenter, who has a score of 3 out of 10.
Should Slater get the highest?
Christian Slater has the highest, or did,
until
this month, but I won't tell you who it is.
Let us spoil it in general. I mean, like, now, you could have told me, you know, like, who it was, and I say, I won't tell you what his score was, or her score was, but now you just ruined it for me. Now we're like, I don't even want to read that
section. Well, if I had, we'll drop to blow the whole thing.
I'm just, it's no problem. I'm picking at you. But anyway, Spider-Man 4.
But anyway,
go ahead.
Well, we were talking about Wolverine, really, but I suppose Raimi is just waiting to see how Drag Me to Hell does. If it is as well received by the public as it is has been by the critics, then maybe he'll say to himself, you know, I had a hell of a lot of fun making Drag Me to Hell. A lot more fun. I imagine I will have a lot more fun making another movie like that, or maybe finally making Evil Dead 4. If he really is intent on making that, then I will making Spider-Man 4. Or maybe I should just go to another studio and get a break. Don't want to do this.
We have another
studio. Who knows?
You know, I mean, Dragon Man Hill is being made with Universal, as I recall. So He already went to that degree, but still, I don't know. I'm wondering. He's saying like time is of the essence. You know, we got to get this baby churning. It's got a May 2011 release. It's 2 years from now, a little over 2 years. These things take a lot of time to get done. It takes about this. I don't know. It's just it's very odd the way he's acting. It's something's not adding up. I know I've said that three times now.
I just think he's biding his time. He's just sitting back and waiting until the grosses come in on his new film and seeing, if it's a sign.
It's not going to be that high. I mean, like if it hits like 50 or 60, I think you can consider it a success, in my opinion.
Well,
its competition is going to be direct competition. That opening weekend will be up. And then it'll open the week after Terminator Salvation and Night at the Museum 2. I mean, and I forget what comes out the week afterwards. So it's, I mean, you know, that's some heavy, heavy competition to go up against.
Yeah.
Granted, it's a PG-13 movie, so they've got that, at least they've got that in their corner. You know, so they're not going to just, limit their audience with that decision.
But in spite of the fact that Wolverine has no competition next week,
yes,
I we will reiterate this, folks, because next week we will hopefully we should know if we were right or not.
Yeah.
I say the movie is not going to make much more than $50 to $55 million. I'm not going to even say 50 to 60. I don't think it's going to hit 60. I think it's going to be 50 to 55. It's going to open big because. There are a certain percentage of people like you and me who will go because we feel obligated to do so because we want to find out how it actually, the genuine theatrical release product turned out because we love comic book movies. I even love the bad ones. And because, we can be objective about this. You know, we're not hardcore Deadpool fans, fortunately, so we're not going to feel pissed off about what they've done to him. Still, if he's a wasted character, we'll be able to see right through it. And then there's another percentage of people who will just go because they always go to the movies and because they want to see something.
It's the average Joe. It's average. Yeah, but it's the average Joe public. And, I think it's going to open in the 70, 80 region. Some people are saying 100. I find that impossible. I distinctly remember people walking out of X-Men 3 not liking it. You know, the general perception was it wasn't good. People didn't like it as much. Like, it was entertaining, but people was like, they died and they killed everyone off at the end. You know, Jackman is the selling point of this movie. People love Jackman. They love that character. He is pushing this movie so hard because, this is do or die. I don't want to say it's do or die for him, but I still look at the Oscar ratings and I go, there's still a lot of love for that man, you know.
It's impossible to dislike him.
Well, yeah, but what I mean is, like, people love him, and they love him as that character. I mean, there hasn't been that many non-X-Men-related things that Jackman has done that were genuinely successful. Like, Prestige was successful. That was considered a hit. What else has he done that was a hit that was considered a success that didn't involve X-Men? You could also lump the Oscar telecast as one of them, so that's two things right there. What else? I mean, Australia bombed. And granted, that was going to bomb anyway. I mean, who thought that was going to do well? But,
Well, the studio did. They thought anything with Baz Luhrmann's name on it, that's a hit.
I've always gotten the impression – well, I don't know. There was a story about how Fox greenlit that film Deception. Is that what it's called? The one with Ewan McGregor that came out last year?
You don't even remember.
You know which one I'm talking about, though.
Yes.
They greenlit the movie because Jackman was attached. He wanted to make it, and Fox wanted to be in the Hugh Jackman business. So they made it, basically, knowing that it probably wouldn't make any money.
He said he was going to make – this was ages ago, but he said he was going to make a movie about Bill Bixby, like a biopic of the life of Bill Bixby.
I would – that would be interesting, actually. I would love to see that, as a matter of fact.
I was just checking that it hadn't already come out and I hadn't heard of it.
No.
I
have never heard anything about that. Granted, I don't – my issue of Hugh Jackman Monthly hasn't – come to my newsstand yet, so I don't really know about that. But yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, I'm gonna say 60. I'm gonna say 70 to 80. In fact, I already know that in my local area, it will be more packed on the opening night of Wolverine than it will be on the opening night of Star Trek.
Well,
it will be. There's just no two ways around that. I know that for a fact. It will be.
Okay.
I'm just saying, dude.
Well, like, Of course you are. And like I say, the great thing is you have an opinion and I have an opinion, and one of us will be right and one of us will be wrong.
The sad opinion is I don't like this opinion, but I'm just like Mr. Spock, I'm using logic, Jim, you know, or Phil.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
You know what? You can gloat if you're right about this. I don't see how it doesn't make that.
I'm not the type.
And to be fair, though, even if it does only do 55, that's a solid number, dude. That's a lot of money. It's just that, you know, the third one opened to what, like, how much did the third one open to? It was Memorial Day weekend. Do you remember? I think it's like, it opened on a Friday, so it
had 107 million, I think.
It was over 100 in its opening weekend, I remember. I'm just trying to, it was like 122, I think, in the 4-day actual holiday weekend. I don't remember what the 3-day was. I'm trying to look it up real quickly because I want to get an idea of it.
It was 107. I'm pretty sure.
It was 100. It was 102. I just
oh, right,
it
okay.
It was 102 in the 3-day weekend, and it was something else the next weekend. For some reason, it's not pulling up for me. Okay, here we go. I clicked on the wrong thing. It's always fun to do stuff live while we're recording. Yeah, it was 102 in the 3-day weekend. The actual 4-day holiday Memorial Day weekend was 122. So made another $20 million on that fourth day. The question is, can it even get anywhere close to that with a fourth movie? I don't think so, because it all depends on it's common sense mentality. It's common sense. If the last movie is insanely popular, the next movie is going to make open. It might not make as much overall, but it's going to open bigger. Case in point, Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace. You know.
Yeah, I guess so. Do you know what though? Something has occurred to me.
Okay.
Regardless of how much or how little it makes on opening weekend, whether it hits expectations or doesn't hit them, Fox can spin it and say, well, unfortunately, you know, we had a major security breach a month before release, and so you can't blame us for our marketing. You can't blame the movie for its quality. The fact is, you know, people saw the movie online. They stole it. That's why we didn't open as big as you analysts thought we were going to do. So piss off. So they can, you know, it'll be all right for them. It's not going to be like Warner Brothers and Speed Racer, where they actually tried to make it look like it made a couple of bucks more than it actually did when it opened. You know, the Monday after the gross is coming, they can. That's always a tough day for studios usually.
Well, I don't know. It's going to be about spin control. I mean, that happened with Hulk, though. I mean, they spent, you know, that movie made $70 million in 3 days. It leaked 2 weeks in advance. It was nowhere near. Well, you know, see, when did Wolverine leak? About a month ago? I mean, or a month and a half ago? It was quite a while back. And that was, you know, leading to our next story related to that, is the fact that, you know, apparently, according to Ain't It Cool News, the work print of Wolverine that leaked on the internet, if anyone has seen it, I haven't, Phil hasn't, I don't think you have you? No.
I've seen 3 minutes of it.
You saw 3 minutes, but you didn't see the movie, though. No, big deal. So, for those of you who did see it, apparently you saw the movie. I mean, like, except for temp music and some unfinished effects shots, as I recall, that's the movie. Fox claimed that wasn't the case, that, oh, well, we still have another 10, 20 minutes that haven't been put back in as part of the reshoots. Was a lie. That is the movie. So you've seen the movie. So if you didn't like it, then guess what? You know, don't pay $8 to see it, apparently.
They said specifically, because I've been reading about this, apparently this character of Deadpool, played by Ryan Reynolds, very much is the Darth Maul of X-Men Origins Wolverine in every sense, in that he shows up in the opening for 10 minutes and is gone for the movie, and then appears in the finale again for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say. I don't want to spoil it for people. I
well, but also, but that leads into our next story, is that apparently for showing was at I think they were at a press conference for the movie, Gavin, and I think they showed the movie and they had a Q&A afterwards or something to that degree. I didn't read the report. I got the synopsis, the overall of what was said, and apparently there are multiple secret endings that are added, that are in the after the credits, codas, if you will, that have been added to different prints of the movie, and they all involve the Deadpool character, basically. And
You are joking.
Sadly, I'm not. And apparently, my guess on this, if I had to guess, I would say this was shot after the leak.
So those are the reshoots.
I don't know.
Mystery solved.
Well, I mean, the reshoots were done in, if I recall, the reshoots were actually done in January. And then the movie leaked, two months ago? I don't remember when. And my guess is that they did these new codas after the movie leaked, just to put something on there that hadn't been given away yet. That's my guess.
Well, specifically, what I heard was that the reshoots involved roughly 10 minutes of extra Deadpool stuff to, you know, add some character development to this character.
Yeah, so but he's only
some
yeah,
kind
but,
of significance.
But, yeah, but I mean, you know, if the guy's only at the beginning and end of the movie, then you know. That wasn't really much of a good cause.
No, exactly. I mean, I guess it could, on a technicality, it could be true. Maybe if you add up the screen time of all these coders, then it adds up to 10 minutes, and that's what qualifies. But, damn, man, I had no idea about that.
Apparently.
So it's gonna be like that movie Clue, where they actually.
Oh yes.
Had different endings depending on which theater you were in. There was like three endings.
Well, technically the movie itself is the ending is the same. It's just like after, kind of like that thing at the end of X-Men 3 where you see Xavier in a new hairy body. You know, all of a sudden we hear his voice. And the woman's like, Charles, and then you know the audience I was with said, "What the fuck?" You know, I heard a lot of that during the screening.
That's fucking stupid.
Huh? It is stupid. It's like, wow. I mean, just like, you want to have your cake and eat it too. Like, oh, he's dead. Professor X is dead. Oh my God, it's dramatic. Oh, but he's not really dead. You know.
As long as you don't tell me, I hope it's not going to be like.
I would have rather.
I hope it's not going to be Deadpool is wandering around and all of a sudden Sam Jackson shows up and says, "I want to talk to you about the Avenger Initiative."
Ooh, that'd be funny. I was about to say I would have rather had the coda to X-Men 3 been like, you know, Iceman and Rogue in bed, you know, and then all of a sudden like her powers slowly coming back or something, you know. That would have been my coda.
I just know what I would have had.
All right.
I just would have cut back to that Magneto playing chess in the park, and just this cop comes up behind him and says, "Where the fuck did you go? We've been looking everywhere for you."
I actually have a better one for that. Like, go right to the moment where the movie ended. Like, all of a sudden you think it's about to move, and all of a sudden like Magneto looks over and like there's a little kid with a magnet.
Yeah.
It's like a metal set and it's like a magnet, and it's like the kid's just he's fucking with him. He's like, "Oh, go away, you." That would have been. Yeah, exactly. That would have been my ending. I liked it.
Hobbit.
What?
I just said hobbits under my breath. You know,
hobbits.
Yeah, I know. And like he's about to do. I mean, what's he doing next? I mean, isn't he? He's in The Hobbit, isn't he? Yeah, he's gonna be in The Hobbit.
I think that's a safe bet. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. I'm trying to think of some other conversation to have because I'm out of topics for the week.
I think I am as well. Well, we just
it was just
our last chance to say whether we thought that. The move that Wolverine was gonna be any good. I gotta tell you this. Yeah, go back to what you were saying. It's not like this is idle speculation that someone's trying to stir up some shit and stop people from seeing Wolverine because they're pissed off. You know, that they just were, they're coming up with some bullshit. Apparently there is evidence to support this theory. Apparently the runtime of the work print was 107 minutes and the runtime as confirmed by some theatre chains on their website of the theatrical print is 107 minutes. So unless they've chopped out some shit from the work print and put in some good stuff, then, yeah, it's looking like that is the case. In which case, well, I was going to say, how do Fox think they can get away with this? But the fact is, they do get away with it. They've lied to us before, Stormcloud, and they've gotten away with it, and we just keep tolerating it.
You really hate Fox, don't you?
I do. I'm sorry.
I don't mind. I'm not in the Fox fan club. I mean, I don't have like a, you know, like I'm not cursing the name of Rothman, but you know, not a big deal to me.
I'm not going to start up my rant again. I've just said what I think before. I think The 20th Century Fox, when I see that 20th Century Fox logo and that fanfare, that means something to me. And it means a lot to other people as well who grew up.
Yeah.
In these, well,
we had Aliens.
Exactly my point. Star Wars. Had Aliens. Die Hard.
Die Hard. Other shit.
Other stuff, yes. But that The Fly, Cronenberg's The Fly, there you go. That's a studio that makes different kinds of pictures, but they have an amazing legacy of entertainment, of supporting filmmakers and talent and telling stories and not being constrained by writing, by ratings, by running times, by focus group, by fiscal quarters, the same way that it seems the current management at Fox, and when I say the current management at Fox, I mean this has been going on for 10 years now, maybe even longer, ever since they were bringing out the first X-Men movie and were finding ways to sabotage it. I just find it's, look, it's been business, isn't it? So I can't really moan too much about the injustices of it, but it's just deeply, deeply unfair that people like yourself and me, who have waited and waited to see these things, these stories with so much potential up there on the big screen, to have them in the hands of people who don't understand what make them work. You know, they just have a comic book property. Comic book properties supposedly make money, so they'll bring it out no matter what. I remember a story you were telling me once about how they only brought out Fantastic Four 1 in the summer that it came out because they were about to lose it.
Yeah.
They were about to lose the license on it from Marvel, and because they had nothing else.
Yeah, I heard about, yeah, I remember that. I mean, that's why that was such a fast shoot, though. I mean, I think they started shooting that like in October, November of 04, and then it was out by July of 05. And that's a pretty fast, you know, considering like the sort of scope of that movie, which make, you know, quality, shitty quality aside, I mean, that's a lot to pull off in less than a year. So, you know.
And not to mention the biggest one of all. This is what it really stems down to, Jamie.
Okay.
This is what I will never, ever, ever forgive them for. See, three errors.
I'm
being serious.
Being me now.
When you have James Cameron and Ridley Scott coming to you and saying, we're thinking about doing another Alien film, you know, James Cameron would produce it and Ridley Scott would direct it. I think that was the deal. You know, we'll both collaborate on this one. We'll make a new Alien film. Doesn't matter about 3 and 4. And you know what? I don't even blame Fox for what happened for 3 and 4. These things happen sometimes. They happen. Every studio makes these kind of stupid mistakes and destroys, you know, the future of a franchise. So I thought Sony was the right people to handle Spider-Man. They were doing such a great job and they fucked up. So it happens sometimes. But you don't turn down Ridley Scott and James Cameron as a collaboration, going to make you a new Alien film and make Alien versus Predator instead. Now, you know, Alien versus Predator, they made it on a modest budget and it made a lot of money. That's business. Well done them. But after the second one, look, I haven't even seen it. I don't need to see it. Call me ignorant, but I don't need to see it to know that we could have had greatness again and it's been taken away from us by idiots. You think they know better, and they don't know better. They're fucking idiots. I see them all upset now.
Yeah, you are very upset, you know, but hey, I figured we should go out with the high notes. That's a good one, don't you think?
Yeah. No, it's fine. You know, they're just movies. You get over these things. You just get angry at the time. That's all, because, you know, I am the eternal optimist, Jamie.
Yes,
some people, I have spoken to many people who were so angry about what happened in X-Men 3 because they feel that we are never, ever going to see the Dark Phoenix saga on the big screen again. I disagree. I believe, I don't know how long it will take, but I firmly believe that Marvel will either do X-Men themselves, they will reboot it, or they will take it to another studio and they will start this up again. And that is a concept which has so much potential that you can start it up again and do things differently and have different, you know, superpowered people be part of the team instead of that lineup. You can do it differently.
Well, I think what they might
give us the Dark Phoenix saga properly.
I believe that will happen. Reboot.
No,
I think what I could see happen is like Marvel do their own X-Men movies that sort of they don't step on the toes of the previous movies. Like, for example, do X-Factor the movie or something like that.
Well, I can't call it that.
I don't know. I'm just saying, you know. Just giving an example.
That was just a kid to me. It's true. They were called the X-Factor. Well, they can't call it that, unfortunately.
Or something, like Generation X. We can see the feature-length version of that shitty TV movie from 96 that I remember watching.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That I watched as a child, sadly. But I was young, damn it. Younger then. More stupid than I am now. But still, I digress. So I guess that's all I got left in me, man. Anything else you got?
No. Been another one of those weeks.
It has. It very much has. So that was a good show. So folks, thanks for listening. We will catch you next week on the next edition of Movie Moan. I'm Jamie Williams, as always. Phil, wrap it up, sir.
You better not miss next week's show, folks, because regardless of whether our predictions are right or wrong, I know that you know that we want to... No, I got that wrong. Sorry. Basically, what I'm going to say is... I know that I'm not going to like Wolverine, and so with my adamantium claws of criticism, I am going to personally eviscerate it. That is what I'm predicting. I think I'm going to hate it. But I that's what I do. I will see the movie. I will give it a fair chance. I swear to God I will give it a fair chance. I'll see it next Saturday, and if it is good... Nobody will be more happy than me to tell you that it is, even though you don't need me to tell you because you're not counting on, you know, our opinion to go and see it. If you're going to see it, you'll have already seen it. But anyway, if you are going to see it, I really do hope you enjoy it, folks. I don't want this to suck. I really, really hope you have a great time. And it kicks off the summer season, and hopefully it will be a great season. That's what I got.
Well said. Night, folks.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.